Hello, and welcome to Need to Know, your weekly investment podcast brought to you by the experts at Coutts. I'm Sarah Muir, and I'm joined for this very special bonus episode, not only by Coutts CIO Alan Higgins, but also by author and investigative journalist Jamie Bartlett. Now, you may know Jamie for his work for Demos, or more recently for his fascinating BBC podcast series, The Missing Crypto Queen, and I understand he's got another one that's due out any moment now. Now, each week on Need to Know, we look at the three things investors need to know for the week ahead. So, Jamie, I know you wanted to talk about investment scams because we met recently on a fraud event that was hosted by the bank. What are the three psychological tricks that scammers play on potential investors?
Well, yes, thank you very much for having me, Sarah. Thanks for everyone for listening. Well, there are many, but I've sort of tried to distill it down to three that I've seen across different types of scams over the years. And psychological rather than technological, i.e. pretty basic human weaknesses that we all of us do suffer from, especially those of us who think we don't. the first is FOMO, fear of missing out. The second is, which I've called social proofing, which we'll come to. And The third is a sort of attachment to real life events, a sort of current affairs of the moment, smart way of making the scam tied up into something you're reading about in the news.
Okay, brilliant. Well, let's kick off then with fear of missing out. And we talked about this before. This is not the same as just pure greed, is it?
No, and I think it's different in quite an important way. Fear of missing out. I spent a lot of time trying to work out why so many people, over about a million people, put so much money into OneCoin, which was a fairly transparent Ponzi scheme. It didn't take much to realize what was going on. But very, very clever people invested into OneCoin. And it wasn't just because they thought they were going to get filthy rich really easily. It's that they saw other people getting rich and wanted to be part of that. They didn't want to miss out on what seemed like an easy chance to make a lot of money. Why did people believe when Sebastian Greenwood Ruja, Ignatova's co-founder of OneCoin, said you can have 300% monthly return on this investment? I can see you shaking your head.
I know, that's too good to be true, Jamie.
Unbelievable, Jamie.
Because they had seen other cryptocurrencies going up at a similar sort of rate, it didn't seem too good to be true. They'd seen other people getting rich that quickly, and it felt unfair that they'd missed it. So think about it. It was your friend David who invested in Bitcoin in 2012 and now drives around a Lamborghini. He's not smarter than me. He's not more hardworking than me. He just got in early. And that's almost about a sense of injustice. It's not fair I didn't capture it, and I'm not going to miss out again. And FOMO is a great driver of irrationality. And I think it attracts people who aren't necessarily greedy. They don't even necessarily want to become filthy rich. They just want to get the chance to make a bit because everyone else seems to be.
Yeah.
And greed doesn't quite cover that.
I was going to say, listening to some of the really sort of awful stories of the people that you talked to as part of the Missing Crypto Queen, those were people that, as you say, were not greedy. They were wanting to, you know, get some benefits from investing, and they were inviting their friends and family to do it as well. I mean, that was the tragedy, wasn't it?
And is the woman who invested her life savings of 5,000 euros so she could open a small store rather than working in the plantain field, is that really greedy? I mean, that seemed like a reasonable aspiration. That's all she wanted to do with it. And she saw other people seeming to get rich easily and thought, well, why can't I? And Ruja Ignatova and OneCoin played on the fear of missing out. And fear of missing out, you can almost feel it because you look around and see your friends having a better holiday than you on Instagram. And you're not greedy for wanting it, but you feel like you should feel bad that I'm not getting part of that act. So fear of missing out is not just about investment scams, but I think anyone who feels themselves under the influence of FOMO, like I'm jealous that someone got rich quick, I should too, that to me is a good sign that you should maybe hit the pause button and think about this more carefully.
Well, you just answered my question then, because yeah, how do you counteract it? It's just recognizing that you're experiencing those emotions and just taking a step back and stopping and thinking before you take any action.
I'm still trying to work out what the counterbalance is on that. Yeah, because it's such a powerful emotion that rational thought doesn't always come into it. And at the very moment you need to apply your rational thought, you're under the influence of this strange drug of FOMO. And the thing about FOMO is, as you and Alan have said before, sometimes the return... People will say, oh, if it's too good to be true, you know, then it probably is. That didn't always seem real with Bitcoin, because Bitcoin was pulling in unbelievable returns.
Yeah.
So just saying it's too good to be true, it doesn't always cut it. And I always just, yeah, think about trying to judge whether you are acting and thinking rationally when making an investment decision, and figuring out what those signs are and looking enviously at other returns that people have had on crypto, you're probably not thinking straight.
Okay, that's a really good point. Alan, did you want to say something there about Bernie Madoff? Because it was one of the sorts of things that we talked about before, about it wasn't actually too good to be true. Well, it was, but it didn't appear to be too good to be true, did it?
Jamie, I'm really interested in what you said about not necessarily greedy, because when some of the investors in Madoff were interviewed, they said, we weren't being greedy. We were just going for an average return of the stock market, about 9%. But I've got Madoff's returns in front of me now. It is basically every single month, 0.8, 0.9, 1%, 0.7. They were greedy subtly for the low volatility and the fear from missing out. And I remember, especially strong in Switzerland, the stability of those returns. It was like, oh, we've got to have some of that. It's unbelievable, so stable. It's not like the normal stock market. How can we get some? And I'm sure you'll go on to it. And Bernie Madoff, you know, he's such an important figure involved in NASDAQ, etc. But anyway, that's only my comment. Yeah. Greed can be quite subtle.
I'm not an investment advisor. I'm not an investment expert. So my comments are probably, they might seem very, very basic to the people listening to this. So I'm really coming at this from as a sort of journalist, what I've seen. But I'm leaving it to you to translate it into the more sophisticated thoughts.
I think sometimes, you know, simple is good, actually. I think that's, you know, it's like just remembering to go back to basics is not a bad thing. Okay, well, then that brings us on to the second point then, social proofing. What do you mean by that? How does it manifest itself?
Well, my thinking was, again, with thinking about OneCoin, but I've seen it elsewhere, most people did not really understand the technology. They didn't. They'd heard about it. They'd heard it was going to be the future, and they'd read an article and a thought leader and a TED talk and all this stuff. So they had a sense that something exciting was going on, but they didn't really understand the fundamentals of how blockchains actually work and how the encryption works and the hashing and the mining. And let's be perfectly honest, most of us don't. And I think most of us do for a fleeting second, and then it disappears again, if that makes sense. So I think Dr. Ruja understood that most people wouldn't really understand how the tech worked. So what she needed to do instead was think, how can people trust me? If they can't trust the tech because it's too confusing, I need to demonstrate to them that there's another way of trusting their investment is sound. And the way I can do that is to surround myself with other trust, because I'm a nobody at the moment, but surround myself with other trustworthy markers. So she would buy advertising in Forbes magazine, where she had a mocked-up front cover with her on the front. I mean, it was just a piece of sponsored content, but it was all in Bulgarian, so no one knew that it was sponsored content, that she was, you know, she was printing copies of this magazine out, ripping off the real front page, showing the fake front page, and sending her promoters to Uganda to sell it to show people. And most people would say, I looked at that, and I just thought someone else was checking. Someone must know. I don't get the tech. I'm just an ordinary person. But presumably someone at Forbes knows. And she spoke at an event hosted by The Economist. And that really was hosted by The Economist. OneCoin was a sponsor of the event. It took place in Bulgaria. She was sure to have photos taken of her in front of the esteemed Economist logo. Again, wave it around in front of investors who thought, well, someone at The Economist must have checked. Because, yeah. So she must be legit. And this is social proofing. It's when you start looking not at the fundamentals of the investment, not at how the tech works, but who are they surrounded by? They seem trustworthy. So she must be trustworthy. And that is but given how sponsorship works in this world and how conferences are organized and how scammers can try to use that to that their advantage, sometimes no one else is checking. So you can't just rely on who the big names and the big sponsors are, because it might not be enough.
So is it about doing your own due diligence then, Jamie?
I think it's just about not relying on that alone. If you do not understand anything about what the investment really is, how it works, what the use case of it is, but you are relying on the fact that Tom Brady's advertising it on TV and that's enough, I again would probably hesitate.
Okay. So if you've got an investment that you don't understand and you're relying on the sort of the gloss or the kudos that's being applied to the person trying to get you to invest because of a perceived association with something that is reliable or trustworthy, you should maybe be a little bit careful.
Yes. Again, it might be a sound investment. I'm just saying that's a moment of reflection, that don't rely on that alone.
Yeah. And that was certainly what happened with Ruja Ignatova. I hope I pronounced that right. That's certainly what she was doing. Okay. Well, then that brings us to the last point then, which was attached to real life events. How does that work?
Well, this is a slightly different one, but this is maybe more from the world of cybercrime, but it is relevant. Do you remember when the Omicron variant first came out and we were suddenly all getting text messages from from the NHS saying that the booster jab was ready? Or when we all went into lockdown and suddenly everyone's getting text messages from delivery companies saying, oh, your delivery has had to go back to the depot and click here. That is the same psychological trick. It's you've seen it in the news, top of mind, and you are, again, at a weak point to be exploited. That, oh, yeah, I saw about Omicron. Oh, my goodness me. Right. Quickly, I will reply to this. I will fill in the form to get my jab. And it's very common for companies when they do a big talk about cybersecurity to suddenly receive an email supposedly from a cybersecurity company saying, we've noticed some unusual activity on your account. Would you click here to double check? Again, trying to tie it into a real world event. And I thought that might work in the scamming world as well, because if there is an exciting new technology, new moment, new opportunity, whether it's ChatGPT, you can be guaranteed there are now loads of opportunities of investing in OpenAI, ChatGPT, deepfake tech.
Yeah.
Someone's heard about it in the news. So it's very current and topical. And it could be scammers just trying to get you at that split second where you're not concentrating so they can sort of grab your attention.
And again, so I guess this comes back to the other two sort of tricks that we were talking about. It's about just taking that moment, not reacting instinctively, but taking a moment to step back and go, well, this is a bit of a coincidence. Let me just, before I jump on this, let me just take a moment to think about it.
Yeah, precisely. And so much of it really comes down to that, because these psychological exploits, you could call them, are really all about catching you at a weak moment somehow, and when you're not thinking in the way you normally would. And like I said, people who think they are too smart for this, we are all prone to these weaknesses. There was someone in the UK with a PhD in finance who invested money into OneCoin. There is a doctor in the US, a very highly trained doctor, I think it's an oncologist, but I'm not sure, $900,000 into OneCoin.
Crikey.
So these are smart people. Okay. Yeah. We all fall for these things. I'm often under the influence of FOMO when I see someone invested in Dogecoin and now has a flat in central London. But that doesn't mean I should also invest in Dogecoin. Yeah.
Exactly. Alan, I know you had a question for Jamie.
Jamie, fantastic stuff. So I wanted to talk to bring it alive to the current, and I wouldn't call this a scam, but I'd be interested in your opinion. So this is allegedly FTX, as we know, did go under, and some of the principals there have pleaded guilty. We will see what happens with SBF, Sam Bankman-Fried. But this, to me, I hate this because this is what it says. This is allegedly the Almeida, which was their hedge fund offering. We offer one investment product, 15% annualized fixed rate loans. These loans have no downside. In the unlikely case where we lose more than 2% in a month, we'll give all investors the opportunity to recall their funds and we'll guarantee full repayment. Well, in the end, it looks like all of that was lost. But again, fear of missing out, 15%. What I hate about it is it draws in. We've seen many examples where people get, especially when rates were zero, ironically now rates are higher, people see these kind of returns advertised and just think, well, this is what I've been waiting for. What do you think? And bearing in mind, there's a trial to come.
I'll watch my words. I mean, obviously, anywhere that says no downside probably brings
Yes.
some concerns. And
I'm reading it. That no downside is in bold.
Right.
In
Yeah.
bold.
Precisely. Yeah. Yeah. They're very subtle and they're very sophisticated. I think with these crypto products in particular, there was this strange belief that the line was just always going to go up, and that the normal concerns or questions that you would have, especially post Madoff, as you said, that's 10% annualized returns guaranteed. You would imagine that a lot of investors that had been through that, if they ever see something similar, 15% annualized, you think, hang on, I remember this from somewhere else.
Exactly.
This is worrying. A brand new technology can sometimes make people think that the old rules don't apply anymore.
Yeah.
No, well, with crypto, you can really get 15% annualized returns because it's magic. It'll just go
Yeah.
up forever. And I think one of the things that scammers do with new tech is to try to convince people that the rules are different, but they're not really. It's often the same things that we've seen time and time again.
Exactly. I think that sums it up. So yeah, let's see where this goes. But yeah, I think to our listeners, I mean, honestly, don't crave stability from my side. Don't crave stability. That was the lesson from Madoff. And be very wary of sticker percentage returns. The world doesn't work like that.
Yeah, wise words. Well, before I get to my summing up, Jamie, what are you working on at the moment? I gather you've got something that's just about to launch or has already launched. What's your
It
latest?
just came out. Yeah, it's another podcast called Believe in Magic, which is
Mm-hmm.
on the BBC. Well, it's in the usual places, and that is it's a very complicated story that's about medical deception. So very very
Okay.
different type of deception, but deception comes in all different shapes and sizes.
Yeah, and also actually, we didn't mention at the beginning a very British cult, which is also a fascinating one, which I know Alan and I have just been
I
listening to.
love that. It's
Yeah.
absolutely amazing story and an outrageous story. I have to admit, I was at work. It was late, but I just did the whole thing. I had to listen to the
Oh.
whole thing one after another. I was captivated.
That's well, I was the writer of that one. And yeah, that's what you're aiming for, really, as the writer, that people are so engrossed that they just keep having to listen to one after the binge listen, we call it.
That's what I did. I did binge listen.
Yeah.
I'm
Absolutely,
going
yeah.
to give my time back to Coots this weekend by doing some investment research.
Well, look, thank you very much to Alan and also to Jamie, because I know how busy your schedule is. It's been really wonderful having you on the podcast. A reminder that the views expressed in the podcast are not intended to constitute investment advice, are accurate at the time of recording, and are subject to change. So just to kind of sum up then, very quickly, we talked about or Jamie talked about the psychological tricks that scammers play on potential investors, the fear of missing out. Not necessarily being greedy, but seeing that other people have done well through something and thinking, well, I deserve a piece of that as well. Social proofing, perhaps there's an investment that you don't understand, but the scammer is going to try and use a link with a trusted source as a way to kind of add an air of sort of authenticity or honesty about what they're trying to sell you. And attachment to real life events, as we saw very recently with COVID, with scams for inoculations and delivery, Amazon delivery parcels, things like that. But anyway, as I say, fascinating stuff. Don't forget to check out the podcast page on Coutts.com and subscribe to the podcast via iTunes and Spotify. You can also access previous episodes, including a recent cryptocurrency special, very timely after today's conversation. We talked with James Butterfield from CoinShare. And last week, we caught up with James Hawkes to talk about the Bank of Japan. That's all for this week. We'll be back next week with more Need to Know. Until then, bye for now.